You turn in the Word of God tonight to Ephesians 6. The last chapter of Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs, and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Our text tonight is found in verses 10 and 11 of this chapter. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There are any number of truths that we can examine on New Year's Day. The main one, of course, being the return of Jesus Christ at the end of time. As you well know, that when we have a New Year's morning service, then that is what I usually concentrate on in that worship service as well, the coming of Jesus Christ. But there are a number of different truths that also could be preached on New Year's Day. And since we are given a second opportunity on this New Year's Day to proclaim the Word of God, we're going to take a close look at one of those other truths, the subject that we have before us in this passage of God's Word. It is also one of equal importance, of course, for us as God's children. Paul addresses us in our text that in this new year to come, we are going to enter into battle as soldiers of Jesus Christ. God has surely been faithful to preserve us in our battle again in this year that has gone by. And God has kept us from straying, therefore, from the truth of His Word and from the ways of holiness in our lives. That in itself is a reason to be thankful. And we thanked God also last night in our Old Year's service of His faithfulness in that battle in the year gone by. But, beloved saints, that battle isn't going to stop. It's not going to stop in the year that we have before us in 2017. In fact, that battle is going to be fought until the very second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ at the end of time. And the battle against our enemies will not get any easier either. We live in the last days, and the temptations that Satan, the devil, casts in front of us are all the more subtle and are becoming all the more pleasing to our sinful flesh. The wicked, unbelieving world becomes more and more obsessed with sin and its pleasures. In fact, we find the people of our society living for pleasure. We as God's saints are called by God to live in that world. And while doing so, we are called to remain pure and chaste, that is, spotless now, in our desires and in our goals. We all well know, every one of us, that that is not an easy thing to accomplish in this life. And that because we have a sinful flesh in us that is really attracted to the ways of this wicked world. And that's why at the beginning of a new year, again, we need to hear this word of God to us. It is fitting to hear the encouragement, really, that is given to us in the admonition that incites us now to godly living in the year 2017. And that admonition is, be strong in the Lord. That's what we're going to consider tonight. Be strong in the Lord. In the first place, we're going to consider our enemy. Secondly, where our strength is found to fight that enemy. And then finally, the defense that Christ gives us to defend ourselves against that enemy. So we'll consider our enemy, our strength, and our defense. The Church of Jesus Christ is fighting a war. She has been fighting that war since the beginning of time. Immediately after the fall of man into sin, God spoke the words that defined the battle. I will put enmity or hatred between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And ever since then, the war between those two seeds has been waged. There is a certain resentment that the unbelieving world has for the cause of Christ and for those who represent that cause of Christ in this world. Even though that resentment is oftentimes covered over with a smiling face. The only time when there is no resentment of this world toward the believer is when that believer has given in to temptation and is walking in the way of sin together with that evil world. The more we walk, however, in obedience to God's commandments, in purity in this world, the more the world hates us and shuns and avoids us. Jesus tells us that that will be the case as well. We read of that in John 15, verses 18 and 19. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. There is a hidden hatred toward the church of Christ in this world. And there is so because the child of God, after all, is called upon to walk a life of holiness in this world. And that holiness contradicts what the wicked world itself stands for. And we are therefore called by God's word to fight the good fight of faith and to be strong in the Lord. The battle we fight, you understand, is not simply one that is fought by the church as a whole. Yes, the church as a whole is fighting this battle, fighting a battle against the worldly influences of this present world around her and the many temptations that are placed before her by that church that is already departing from that Word of God. So there's a battle that goes on in the church as a whole, but every individual believer in the church is called upon to fight that battle. Not one believer stands idly by to watch all the other believers around them fight that battle. Each and every day, he or she is involved in that warfare in his or her own personal life. That is the way it is. And we cannot avoid that battle. We cannot close our eyes to the warfare that you and I are called upon to fight. The battle is being fought, and we are in that battle. Whether we want to be in that battle or not, we are in that battle. And if there is no battle going on in our own individual life and in our own heart, perhaps it is because we have already been caught in the snare of the devil. The devil. Yes, the devil. He is our chief foe. Our foe that is specifically identified here in this passage of God's Word that we deal with tonight. We are told that we are able, or that we must stand over against the wiles of the devil. The devil, people of God, is an all-powerful angel. He at one time was the highest ranking angel in the angelic realm, Lucifer, son of the morning. But shortly after God had created the heaven where the angels dwell and the earth, that devil fell from his high estate. And he fell from that high estate because the devil, in pride, attempted to usurp the rule and the authority of God himself over all of creation. Because of that, of course, the devil and a whole host of fallen angels together with him were cast out of their high estate. No longer were they allowed to dwell in heaven, even though in the Old Testament we do read of the devil approaching God in heaven. They were not allowed to dwell in heaven in the presence of God and his faithful angels. So Satan dwells in the earth, and that together with his devils. And this isn't some science fiction tale that we're talking about here. This isn't mythology that we learn of here in the Word of God. We cannot see the devils. There's no doubt about it. They are spiritual creatures, and they do not appear to the eyes of men, except, of course, the angels that have been sent by God himself to announce faithful tidings to God's people. The devils never appear to us in visible form. They're invisible. But they are real. And they are everywhere. Satan himself is not omnipresent. He's not everywhere present. Satan can't be everywhere at the same time. Not like God. He's not God. And because of that, Satan sends forth a whole host of principalities and powers, that is, a whole host of ranking devils out into this world, and those devils do his dirty work for him. They go out appealing to the sinful flesh of God's people in order to ruin God's kingdom and the cause of Jesus Christ in this world. That's their purpose yet. That's their goal. That's been Satan's goal since the very beginning of time. He wants to usurp the kingdom from God and the rule from God. You and I ought to remember something, people of God. Satan and his devils do not do this work on their own. They're not alone in that battle that they fight against you and me. Because Satan is a spiritual creature, he cannot fulfill his desires of himself. And he uses others to fulfill what he desires. His henchmen in this battle, the warriors that he sends forth into this world that wage battle with you and me, are the people of this unbelieving world. In other words, people of God, and again, we ought to be very clear on this, Satan works in through the people that you and I are exposed to every day of our lives as we walk through this present world. It may be difficult for us to accept, but those who walk in unbelief and contrary to God's commandments are not our friends. And this can be difficult to accept, of course, because after all, these people do not come off as our enemy. They look normal. They act normal. They may have even many of the same likes and dislikes that you and I have in our lives. They might have sparkling personalities, and they might be those who are very, very easy to get along with in this world. And after all, we do not wish to think the worst of them either, do we? But the deeds that they bring forth in their life is not, or are not, to the glory of God. And they walk openly in their ways of sin, defying God's commandments. They make idols out of this present world and the things of this world and the wicked, horribly wicked people of this present world. They take God's name in vain at the flap of a hat. They abuse the Sabbath day in their restaurants, in their workplaces, and in their recreation. The world lives in drunkenness. The world lives in adultery and in fornication. They're filled with greed. All of these things are out there and are present in the world in which we live. The world leads a life not of faith in God, not of faith in Jesus Christ. They lead a life of unbelief. Unbelieving men and women who walk in sin without even acknowledging God, after all, are the allies of the devil. Through these, he works in order to defeat you and me. And that's why James tells us, too, here in his epistle to us, in chapter 4, verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. In 2017, we will be meeting a lot of these warriors of the devil. We work with them. We live with them in the same neighborhoods. We seek our recreation. And when we do, they're sitting there right side by side with us, even in something as innocent as going to a basketball game or a baseball game or a hockey game or vacation in motels. They're all around us. The wicked world, the unbelieving world surrounds us, and we are confronted with them every day. Now, here is the hard part. We are called upon by God's word here to do spiritual battle in this world with these enemies of God's people. That doesn't mean that we shun them or ignore that ungodly neighbor. We do not puff ourselves up in pride and act as if somehow we are better than they are. Indeed, you and I are called upon to be a light in this world, and therefore we are a witness to everyone that is around us, not only in the way that we live, but also in what we say to them. But they're not our companions. They're not our friends. Now, the same thing is true. That doesn't mean that you and I have to pick ourselves up sometime or somehow and go and live in some remote corner of the world in an attempt to flee the world and to flee these unbelieving people. Christ has a purpose for you and me in this world. He places us right here in the middle of an unbelieving world so that we can shine as lights in the midst of darkness. The battle that you and I are called upon as God's people is not to have to go and kill a doctor that's doing abortions. It's not that we have to march on the Capitol and represent this cause or that cause by force. That's not the type of battle that we are called upon to fight. Our battle is a spiritual one. And James himself, again, instructs you and me as to how we ought to fight that battle. James 1, verse 21:7. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. That's how we fight the battle. Keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Paul writes of that in a little bit different of a way in Romans 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's our calling before God in the battle that we fight. But to heed those commandments of God is easier said than done. You know why? Because Satan uses wiles. That's what Paul is speaking of here in the verse we consider. We must stand against the wiles of the devil. That term wiles refers specifically to shrewd schemes, subtle battle tactics that Satan uses. Here's how Satan does it. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 14 and 15. Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Satan knows how to make the evil look good and the good to look evil. He himself and those whom he leads in his warfare against the church transform themselves so that they appear as angels of light, that they are in all reality doing that which is good. And that's not just true of Satan. That's true of those that he sends forth into this world to do his battling for him. That's a wile of the devil. the shrewdest of battle tactics, you know. That's exactly why he's called the devil. The name devil means deceiver, or better yet, it means liar. Satan is a liar, and he sends into our pathway those who live and who love the lie. In other words, they say that they love God. They say that they want to live a good life in this world, just as we do. But they walk in the ways of sin, and there is no desire in their hearts whatsoever to walk in a way of holiness before God, separating themselves from the sins that are present in society and the violations of God's commandments. They're not interested in that. They want to be good, and they say that they love God too. That's a lie. And it's a lie because they're of their father, Satan, who is a liar. And Satan is pretty successful too, beloved saints. Pretty successful. He's good at what he does. He knows how to turn a person into sin and unbelief. In the very few years that I have spent in the ministry as a pastor, I have seen that happen more than a few times. Satan knows how to tempt. Tempt even, mind you, a child of God to turn into the way of sin, albeit for a season, because he is a child of God after all. He knows how to turn that child of God for a season into the way of sin, even to the point to where that sin utterly ruins the life of that child of God. And though God preserves him by his grace, Satan will have messed up his life or her life so badly that they will live with the effects of that sin for the rest of their lives. I've seen it happen. Now we can get into all kinds of specifics, of course. Well, here's a wile of the devil. Here's a wile of the devil. Here's another wile of the devil. Here's a wile of the devil. It would take us all evening to talk about all of the various battle tactics and the shrewd devices that he uses to tempt you and me into the way of sin. So we're only going to concentrate on one chief weapon of Satan's warfare. Prosperity. It's not persecution. Even though Satan may resort to that when he sees all else is failing, but Satan works best when everything is going well and smoothly for the Church of Jesus Christ and for the believers. When there doesn't seem to be really all that much in the way of hardships that God's people are called upon to bear. Satan uses money. He uses comfort. He uses ease as the most effective means in his attempts to turn the church away from God and into his own earthly kingdom. That means in 2017, you and I, people of God, stand on the front of the lines of battle. We do. It's not those Christians who are being persecuted in far-off lands. They've got their own battle to contend with. You and I are standing right on the front line of the battle, right here in our own land and in our own country, with all the wealth, with all the affluence of our society, which is ours just as much as it is for everybody else's in the land in which we live. It's so easy to place our trust and affection, our trust in and affections upon the uncertain riches of this world that are all going to perish. It's not that sin is worse now in our world than it was 1,000 years ago. Sin is sin. It's always bad, no matter what. But with the affluence of our society, with the wealth, we can create so many different ways to give vent to that sin, you see. Very simple example. If we didn't have a car to travel to all of the places of amusement that are around us, if we had to walk like they had to do years and years ago, all these places of amusement would have to shut down because there wouldn't be very many people that would go to them. If we could not afford to pay to go to those places where sin is prevalent, they would shut down because we couldn't pay. And they wouldn't have enough money to even keep the places of sinful entertainment open. God has given us so much money and has given us so much affluence. The generation of today has had everything handed to them on a silver platter. Where a generation or two ago, you had to work hard for what you got. But our prosperity has ruined our society, and we are not the first society that prosperity has ruined. Kingdoms and empires, when they reached that stage of prosperity and were lost in promiscuity and sin because of it, fell. They fell. Our society has reached that point too. With all the wealth comes all the wanton earthly pleasures that wealth can buy. And we not only are given the places and the money to be able to enjoy the sinful pleasure of our society, but we are given the places and the wealth which will pull our affections away from the things that are above. The things that we ought to be seeking for in our life in 2017. Those things of this present world pull our affections so that we begin to look at the things of this present life and this present world as the goal of our lives rather than heaven itself as our goal. And that battle is going to grow even the more intense in the year that lies before us. We have enemies. And we fight a battle. So here's the Word of God that must carry us through in this year to come in our battle against Satan. One word. Stand. Stand. We are called as soldiers of Christ in this year to dig in and to make a stand against our enemy, the devil and his cohorts. That's the calling. When soldiers are commanded to defend a certain area or a certain line in battle, then they're called to take certain measures in order to make sure that they can make a stand there in order to keep the enemy away. So they all are given little shovels and immediately they set themselves a digging foxholes so that they can crouch in those foxholes and the bullets of the enemy can't hit them. They set mines out there in the field in front of them so the enemies can step on those mines. They gather together every weapon possible in order to make that stand over against that force of the enemy that they know is now going to attack them pretty soon. And furthermore, when that battle is finally upon them, they concentrate all of their efforts to hold that enemy back, to keep the enemy from breaking through their ranks and overrunning them. Our spiritual warfare in this year to come is a little different, except that we do not fight an earthly physical battle. We wrestle Paul tells us against principalities and powers in high places. We fight against spiritual powers that are stronger than we are. And from a human point of view, the odds are against us. That means that the stand we make is in fact a spiritual stand first of all. You know, it strikes me that there is many a young man enamored by the possibility of fighting in an earthly war. You have all of these young men and women that like to enlist in the army and so on. And they'll enlist because they're willing to place their lives on the line in order to defend our country, to make a stand over against our enemies. The thought of fighting and defeating an enemy, it has a certain amount of glamour to it. Well, people of God, you and I are called to fight a battle this year. In my estimation, it's not a very glamorous one, but if you want to fight a battle, there's a battle that you can fight. It is one that we cannot see, however. It is one that we fight against the spiritual foe. A foe that's a whole lot more powerful than ISIS. But it is not a battle that is fought with guns and knives and so on. Yet that battle is no less real. God's word on this first day of the new year calls you and me to spiritual arms. We are commanded, be strong. Be strong in the Lord. And the stand we are called upon to make is against every wile now of the devil. That means we must make it a point in this year to come to see through all of the guises of Satan and the world around us. Good, keen, spiritual eyes, you know. So that we can flush out our enemy. And that means then putting forth every effort spiritually to ward off that army of devils and defend ourselves from falling prey to them. We dig the foxhole of defense using God's word. We place the minds of that word of God before them. With every spiritual weapon that we have been given by God through Christ, we fight in order that we are not taken captive by Satan at his will. We pray. We examine ourselves. We exercise ourselves, as soldiers always do, but we exercise ourselves in godliness. We stand together with our fellow soldiers in the Lord so that when we make that stand, we don't do it alone. We do that together as a church of Jesus Christ. But it's important for us to understand that in this battle, we'll never be able to defeat the devil and his host in our own strength. This is Satan that we're talking about. People of God, the powerful ruler of the world of darkness, and he is far stronger than we are. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against principalities and powers in high places, much more powerful than you and I are. And that's why we are commanded by God, not that we are to fight on our own, but we are to be strong in the Lord. We're not even called upon in our battle to launch an offensive against Satan. Go out there and charge. God doesn't give you and me more than we are able to handle. All He wants us to do is to defend ourselves against the wiles of the devil. Nothing more. Doesn't require anything more of us. We're called to maintain our position without wavering and without giving in. But we must realize that we cannot do that in our own strength. No way. No way. Satan would have his way with us if we thought we could do it in our own strength. And for that reason, the command we receive is this: be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Wow. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Our strength lies in the captain of our salvation, our Lord Jesus Christ. And that we have to remember also in this year to come. The only way we're going to stand in this new year to make our stand over against our spiritual foes is to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. See, what our text calls our Savior here? Lord. Lord, that's the name specifically used. The Supreme Ruler. He is the spiritual commander-in-chief of the armies of the church. As Lord, Christ sovereignly rules over all in His majesty and in His power. He sits, even now, at God's right hand, right now. And that means that Lord is mighty. That is to say, that's what this word means. He is supreme in His force and in His ability. He wields power and influence that no one else can match. That's the captain of our salvation. We're weak and puny as we fight against our enemies. But when we follow our captain into war, our captain is invincible because He's all-powerful. As Lord Christ rules in that power of His might, and He has the ability to do wondrous things for you and me in this new year to come. The term power here means master in strength. There is no strength greater than that of Christ. He's the master of all power, the master of all ability. He rules over it all. He sits in the heavens now as Lord in that power of His might, ruling over all of the creatures of His hands, including Satan himself, so that Satan now is not doing one little thing apart from the will of our captain, Jesus Christ. All the powers that are ordained are of God, and all are subject to Him. And if we're going to stand against the wiles of the devil in this year to come, we're going to have to be in the Lord. Now, we talked about that this morning, abiding in Christ. Well, here Paul talks about the fact that we need to be in the Lord. There's no other way of standing. Soldiers, no other way of standing in this year to come. We must be in the Lord, and we must stand, therefore, we must stand within the sphere of Jesus Christ and the power of His might. Go outside of that sphere and you'll get taken. You'll be taken captive by the enemy. Stay within the sphere of that sovereign Lord and the power of His might and you'll win the battle against sin and Satan. We win only as we stand under the covert of Christ's wings. He is our defense. He is our strong, high tower. And with Him as the captain of our lives and of the church, we will not fail in this year to come, in that spiritual battle that we fight. And we know that because Christ has really already crushed the power of Satan. He did that at the cross. That's where the ultimate battle, you know, took place. At the cross of Jesus Christ. That's where He bruised the head of the serpent. He crushed the power and the dominion that Satan had over you and me to hold us in his sway. And by doing that, Christ won the victory already in principle right there at the cross for you and for me. As we are in Christ, therefore, we receive the command to be strong in the Lord. There's the command. We must be strong. That's the admonition. That's the theme for the new year to come. That's the theme of our text tonight. Be strong in the Lord. in Christ, we are able to find the ability, we are able to find the strength to ward off all of our enemies. So do it. That's the command. Do it. If you do not, you're a lousy soldier. And you deserve the shame and the dishonor that goes with it. Do it. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Do it. And you will join among all of those faithful soldiers that stood in the past and did battle. You'll be numbered among them. What an honor. Our defense is found in the armor of God that we are called upon to put on in our text. Now, obviously, we're not able even to get into all of those pieces of the armor that the apostle relates to you and to me in the verses following our text. Those don't make up our text tonight either, so we're not going to get into those individual pieces of armor. But we are called upon to take that armor and to put it on, piece by piece. And we must not forget that our defense now against sin and Satan and against that host of fallen angels and against the wicked world is indeed found in truth, in righteousness, in faith, and in salvation. Those are the pieces of armor that we are called upon to put on in this battle. Those become for us the defense of the child of God. And when we exercise ourselves in these in this year to come, we will be able to stand. And oh yes, one more thing. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Don't forget. Pray. Easy thing to forget. Don't forget to pray. That's our defense against our enemies. Are you ready for the battle this year? Psyched up for it? Geared up for that battle? Here's your armor. Put it on. And then as we have opportunity, beginning tomorrow, as we go back out into this world, and we leave these doors, we go back out into this world, then fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Don't waver. Victory is ours. Beloved warriors, may Jesus Christ go with you in this year to come. Amen. Our gracious God and Father, go with us in this new year to come. We look at ourselves and we know that in ourselves we are weak and that we are unable to fight against our foes. And yet, we know too that we belong to Thee and we belong to our Lord Jesus Christ. Teach us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might and to put on the armor so that we might do battle against our enemies in this year to come. Above all these things, Father, wilt Thou find us faithful. That we might indeed make a stand as individual saints, as the Church of Jesus Christ. Find us faithful unto Thee. Preserve us also in that way. Forgive us of our sins and our weaknesses and our failures as soldiers. Strengthen us to that task now on the morrow. And guide us in this week to come for Jesus' sake. Amen.